Extraordinary. Streaming exclusively on Disney Plus this January.
Would you say your greatest weaknesses?
Crippling insecurity.
Selfish.
And a lazy.
A lack of ambition.
Stubborn. Argumentative.
Jealous.
Don't think I'm capable of love.
I only wash my hands if there's someone else in the bathroom.
I don't know why I'd have told you that.
Meet Jen.
Well, hey! You were such a brave little soldier.
Extraordinary. An original series.
Oh, I feel so free. Maybe I should take my bra off.
Streaming January 25th exclusively on Disney Plus. 18 plus subscription required. T's and C's apply.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
No, but I just always like that.
Are you?
Sure. Whatever.
Everybody's everything. Everybody's allowed to be a little bit everything.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, Hambo?
Nothing, man. We've got a Monday on our hands.
Yeah.
I was in town. I'm pretty boring these days. I haven't drank in like over 2 weeks.
Really? New Year's resolution?
No, I just, my foot blew up. Mm-hmm. Old fun gout attack, and then I haven't made it through Vegas not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of was like, oh, if I could do that, I could not drink. You know, I just nothing's been grabbing me. You know, there's that moment of there's that moment of not drinking where I can't. It's hard for me to be out at shows or something if everybody else is drinking because I'm like irritable. But then you kind of get past that point where it's like, oh, I can go out and hang out with people who are drinking. But then the show's over and, you know, it's 10:30. And instead of going to a bar or hanging out with people and to keep drinking, it's like, no, I'll get out of here. I know I'm not going to miss anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm in that zone now. I'm just trying to take advantage of it.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. It's not some major thing. It's just like, oh, it's been a while. Okay, there hasn't been an event where I'm like, oh man, I hope I got to be drunk to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did miss a really cool band called, I've spoken to you about R.I.P.
Uh-huh.
They were playing on Saturday, and I think the fact that I wasn't drinking, I was like, I'm gonna stay home.
Aw.
I mean, whatever.
Well,
whatever, dude.
Whatever it takes, man. My version of that is I can. If I apply myself, I can take a break whenever I want, but it's whenever there's a big sporting event on TV. To sit down and watch the Super Bowl or the college football championship game and not have a beer or a bourbon, it's pretty taxing.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering what the occasion is going to be
mm-hmm.
for me where I'm like, I gotta drink through this one.
So you didn't, no shows this weekend, or at least out of town? You stayed in town this weekend?
No, nothing. I stayed in town. I popped in on one Friday, mm-hmm. did an open mic last week. I went to the skate park yesterday. Got
oh, nice.
Rad adjacent. Yeah,
there
I was out on the BMX bike. It was fun. I went with this, it's all old dudes. Like in their 40s dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, but like a lot of dudes in their 40s out there just hucking BMX bikes around a concrete bowl.
That's awesome. Like,
this is awesome. It's really, this city's really winning me over, buddy.
That's good, man.
Just old people doing the thing they want to do. Just who cares? Not old, but older for the sports of BMX and skateboarding. You know?
See, I need to find my crew. I need to find the 40-plus baseball league or basketball league. That would be fun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like these sport, like skateboarding, like these are things that you could go do by yourself. So it's not prohibitive of like other people's schedules. So it's not like, oh, I need to get a bunch of other people to go form this softball team or something. It's like, nope, I'm by myself. I want to do this today.
Yeah.
So that is kind of nice about that, but it's fun. I'm just hanging. Went out and tried a very well-known pizza place here in Portland, allegedly the best. Called A Pizza Shoals. I'm confused on the names. A Pizza. Not like separate, like a singular pizza.
Uh-huh.
Like the word is a pizza.
A pizza.
A pizza.
Okay, I get what they're doing there.
Do you?
A pizza.
No, but what's Shoals? But it's not Shoals. It's not Shoals like Alabama.
Uh-huh. No, like Muscle Shoals. A pizza Shoals.
No, it's S-C-H-O-L-L-S.
Huh.
Name.
Have you had it?
I'm looking
it
up right now. How about I look this up?
Have you had their pizza?
I had. That's what we went to there yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. This is what the name means. It's a play on word. Okay. You're right. Oh, fuck. All right. Never mm-hmm. mind me.
Like you want a pizza. A pizza. Let's get a pizza.
A pizza. And then mostly I think from the Connecticut area, he's always loved. It's a play on words. A pizza Shoals.
What's the Shoals part? How is that a play?
I'm trying to find it.
Hmm.
It came out in Shoals. Okay. That's where they started. There's a place called Shoals Ferry out here. I'm not going to read this whole article. Anyway, it makes sense. And what a fucking cool story. What a great podcast.
Yeah.
This is.
How was the pizza, though?
Sorry, I bored myself with that one. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff, guys.
Oh, we can.
Pizza. The pizza was good. It was mm-hmm. good. I think I don't know if I'm going to eat pizza that's going to like, I don't know how much more you can do to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to barbecue places, you got your power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
I like, so there's pizza there's obviously varying degrees of quality in any type of food.
Sure.
But at what point are you like, yeah, pizza, this is good. This is good pizza. But I mean, we waited for like 40 minutes.
Hmm.
Which it was like we were in the neighborhood and we didn't care. Like, that's why we were like, you could order beers. Rachel was having beers. I had an RC Cola. They had RC Cola there.
Ooh, that Royal Crown.
That delighted me. Yeah, mm-hmm. that delighted me.
That is fun.
And some Werner's ginger ale. They had old-timey pops.
Did you get a moon pie? RC Cola and a moon pie.
They didn't have moon pies. They had Itzits, though.
Mm-hmm.
The ice cream sandwiches. I did not get one. But so we waited and we got the pizza. It was very good pizza.
What'd you get? What's your toppings? What's your go-to toppings?
Man, I got, you know, when I'm being a real piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
Like a real whore.
Yeah.
Getting me some Pizza Hut or some Domino's just to roll around in, you know? just something disgusting.
Yeah.
Like a dog finding a possum carcass. Something I just want to get the stink all over me of. I always get two pizzas.
Okay.
Because I'm going to eat leftover. It makes no. The idea of ordering pizza delivery and getting one pizza in this day and age.
That's dumb.
Blasphemous.
Uh huh.
You know you're going to eat. It's like basically grocery shopping.
Mm hmm.
I'll get one. The basic go tos,
mm-hmm.
if I don't have to think, I get one, usually with like a mushroom onion.
Okay.
Or mushroom pepper,
mm-hmm.
regular sauce, maybe extra cheese if I'm feeling real feisty. Mm-hmm. And I get a second pizza, barbecue sauce, jalapeno, and pineapple.
Okay, I like it.
A sweet pizza. I get a sweet pie.
Sweet pie.
Savory pie, sweet pie. Yin and yang. Fatso yin and yang. That's what I get. I get Tubby's duality. That's what I call that one.
The duality of the fat thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Tubby's
funny.
Lament. But that's the easy go-to.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I like to change it up. You forget. Man, just play. I've said it before. Plain old cheese pizza sometimes.
It's a good time.
We're tarting everything up left and right with options. Sometimes mm-hmm. you got to go back to basics.
Yeah. And here's something I've come to terms with as I've aged. Sometimes extra cheese is not the way to go. In theory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In theory, we all like extra cheese. But if their normal portioning is where it should be, sometimes extra cheese just weights everything down.
Nah.
No?
Nah.
So you think there's no such thing as too much cheese?
Not at all. Lock me up, dude.
No.
Lock me up, daddy.
I had a bad cheese experience this weekend.
Bind me up. Bind me up like a dairy dungeon master.
Yeah. I had a real bad cheese experience this weekend, Kyle. I guess that's why I'm talking about it.
What happened to you, Dave?
I got my heart set on a quesadilla, right? Okay. I went and got just had my heart set on.
I mean, shit, I can make quesadillas, dude.
I went and I got some of my beloved Moose Craft brisket. Some of the best brisket in the game. All right. Then I went over to McCall's Butcher Shop, which I'm going to talk about again here in a moment. Got some McCall's. You ever been to McCall's when you're back in L.A.?
That's the one in Los Feliz, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, okay.
It's, you know, they're proud of their stuff. It's not cheap, but it's good shit. But yeah. I'll talk about their hot dogs here in a moment. But right now, I want to talk about quesadillas. So I went to Moose Craft, got some brisket, went to McCall's, and they have small batch homemade flour tortillas. I don't know, somebody local brings them in every day. They're just absolutely delicious. So I got the brisket. I got the tortillas. I get home. Okay. I thought I had some Monterey Jack, and I thought I had like the pre-shredded Mexican blend. Had neither one of those. I had one big block of Tillamook cheddar, extra sharp.
Okay. Tillamook, right down the way here.
I think I'm falling out of love with cheddar, is what I'm trying to say. The cheddar, it ruined the quesadilla.
I'm falling out of love with cheddar.
It ruined my quesadilla. I got $35 worth of fucking brisket. I got some fancy artisan tortillas, and I ruined it
with
the cheddar. I used too much of it. Go ahead.
You were going to make a quesadilla with this fancy brisket?
Yeah, I wanted a brisket quesadilla. I wanted that beef and cheese, the beef and cheese mixture. Oh, the play, the dance,
I guess.
The seduction.
And you over-cheesed yourself?
I over-cheesed myself. And at first I thought I over-cheesed myself, and then upon reflection, Kyle, I think even if I would have done moderate cheese, I think that cheddar just, that cheddar seen better days. You know, when you're young, when you're a little kid and you got dirty mouth and dirty fingernails and you're eating boogers, sure, cheddar cheese is wonderful. But when you're an adult and you got an advanced palate, cheddar cheese, man.
You're going to tell me you grew out of cheddar cheese right now?
Yeah. Fucked up my quesadilla, Kyle. I was really upset.
I didn't think you could grow out of it. I don't think you can grow out of cheddar cheese. I think you know what? I don't know what I'm talking about. I make quesadillas. It's just cheese. Is there cheese in the house? There is. Then that's what goes in the quesadilla. I'm not, you know, one to say. I'm sorry you feel that way, Dave.
Sucked.
You know, some friendships aren't meant to last forever.
It sucked.
It's, would you,
what? It ruined my day.
It sucked.
I was in a bad mood all day.
How much did you use all the brisket for the quesadilla?
Yeah, I got a whole pound. Made like four quesadillas for me and Katie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, you made a over 1 pound quesadilla?
No, each quesadilla had a quarter pound.
Mm-hmm. All right, I guess. I mean, it seems like a lot, but I guess that makes sense. You realize the only way I can measure a quarter pound is from the quarter pounder from the pound. So it's the only for anything in the world. That's a quarter pound. Let me hold it and see if it feels as much as that gross burger from McDonald's.
Yeah, man. I put so much thought and care into it, man. My technique was on point. Everything was great, except the cheese just ruined the fucking party, dude.
I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. But
I could hear the disappointment in your voice, and I'm sorry.
A lot of food talk today. I got a lot of food stuff I want to cover.
Well,
but I redeemed myself. I redeemed myself. I had some good experiences this weekend too. All right, I was talking about McCall's, dude. I love a good butcher shop. I love a good
you
hey, we got.
I don't mean about like you. You no expressing shit, appreciation for anything food related. It's like, I think we got there. I think we got there years ago on the show, Dave.
Oh, man. Dude, I had the best hot dog of my life this weekend.
All right, go on.
All right, McCall's makes their own hot dogs.
Artisanal lips and assholes.
No, here's my point. Imagine using the same techniques, you know, that we all love with the hot dog, but imagine if it was good meat and not just the scraps from the slaughter room floor. You know,
I'd argue it wouldn't be a hot dog.
They use good shit, but they put it, you know, they do it just like, I don't know how to make a hot dog. I'll have to read the back of one of your albums. Zing. Which album did you do hot dog ingredients?
I think that was the last, I think that was Trampoline in a Ditch.
Oh man, that's so funny.
Making it tough for people to find the tracks.
But they make what do they call them? City Frankfurters. So they're skinny and long, and literally just, I mean, it might as well be just an artisanal sausage at this point. But like it,
yeah.
I had one just naked, just to really get a good taste test going. Really,
yeah.
You know, I'm like a sausage sommelier. I was swirling it around in my mouth, spitting it out. You know,
I mean, and, that sounds. That sounds like you need a trip back to that park.
But this is one of the best damn hot dogs I've ever had, and I steamed them. Okay. I put them in the cast iron skillet, put a little lid on there, threw a little beer in there, create some steam, steamed them for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then have I talked to you about Saint Pierre bread products? Oh my god.
This is the most product placement episode.
Yeah, this
we've ever done.
Yeah,
We should be getting way more free stuff.
Unpaid endorsement, by the way. Saint Pierre. I don't know if they're regional, whatever, but they make. I've known about them for a while because they make my favorite hamburger bun. They do all their stuff is brioche, but it's so soft and fluffy, and it's not where the regular hot dog buns and sliced bread and all that stuff is. It's in the bakery section of the grocery store. You know where the store will make their own bakery products and throw them out there.
People really got arrogant when they knew their stuff would be in the bakery section. Mm-hmm. Make sure to look for it in the bakery section. People get really up. Companies would get really up their ass about where it would be. Like, don't go looking for it in that trash aisle.
Yeah.
With Wonder Bread. Mm-mm. This would be in the bakery section.
Yeah, man, it's where it belongs.
Check the deli counter of your grocery store. We're not with those slobs over in the refrigerated food section.
Oh my god! But yeah, Saint Pierre. They make a hot dog bun now, and it's the same. Delicious brioche, and it's soft and squishy, and I steamed those up, and I just went real simple. I went that good bun. I went with a good frankfurter.
You send me pictures of this.
Yeah, thing. French's yellow mustard, diced raw white onion, and I went with diced bread and butter pickles. Give me a little sweet action. And like I've always said, people shit on bread and butter pickles. It's only because they're expecting a sour pickle. If you know going in, that it's a sweet bread and butter pickle. It's a delicious experience.
No, so. I don't have to go on about the virtues of a Chicago dog. But
yeah.
It's sweet relish, and it's a dill pickle spear.
Yeah, what's not to like? So, yeah, just went real basic. Best hot dog I've ever had. It was just unbelievable.
What are they charging per franc over there at McCall's?
Let's see. I got 6 of them for about $9. So what, $1.50 a pop? Is that what that comes
out
to? Not bad.
All right.
Not bad.
People going nuts on these egg prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's going on with the eggs?
I don't know. We got eggs yesterday. $4 for a dozen. I don't know where these people are going nuts on these expensive eggs.
Then, all right, I got one more food-related. Well, let's be honest, probably not. But I got another food-related thing. All right.
We're hanging out, man. It's all right.
Now, I'm not saying that I've invented this concept. Okay, I'm sure other people have done this.
I'll be the judge of that, Dave.
But
I'll tell you if you invented it.
Yesterday, all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we're right smack dab in the middle of the NFL playoffs. All right, we're down to the final four teams. Yesterday was two games Saturday, two games Sunday. Yesterday, I really wanted to watch these games. I wanted to celebrate. So fresh off the heels of my disappointing quesadilla experience, it's like a bad set. you know.
Did you eat it? Did you pull the brisket out? What'd you do? Did you try to salvage it?
I ate half of it begrudgingly, and yes, the rest of it, I pulled the brisket out and just ate it separately. I'm not going to waste that brisket.
I didn't think you would.
All right, today's episode of the Boogie Monster brought to you by Athletic Greens, a.k.a. AG1. I've been taking Athletic Greens for over a year now. I gave AG1 a try because I simply needed more nutrition in my life. Also, I used to take multivitamins, but the problem with that is if I took them on an empty stomach, I would get nauseous and almost puke. So now I take AG1 right around lunchtime. And I get all those great nutrients, all the vitamins, but because it's nutrition itself, there's something in my tummy, and I don't get nauseous and almost puke. So, problem solved. Very quickly, I noticed that it has curbed my appetite, it helps my sleep, and it tastes way better than those horrible green smoothies I used to drink. Athletic Greens is the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute. Literally, takes 30 seconds probably. 8 to 12 ounces of water, one packet, shake it up, no mixer, no blender. You don't have to wash any veggies. You don't have to peel anything, chop anything. One scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water in the shaker. You shake it up, you suck it down, you're good to go. Every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality that give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. Oh my God, you should see my skin, hair, and nails. Delivered straight to my door, less than $3 a pop. Boom. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/boogie. That's athleticgreens.com/boogie. Check it out. So while I was at Moose Craft to get that brisket, I also got some of their house-made sausage. All right. I know how much you used to, and still do, but I know your affinity for the cured meats, the tubular meats, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I love all that stuff too. However, when you take your classic tube meat and you incorporate wood smoke, all right?
Okay.
All these craft barbecue spots now, most of them will do at least one type of smoked sausage. And Moose Craft does two incredible ones. They do a roasted poblano Oaxaca cheese sausage. It's made with a blend of prime beef brisket and pork, and then they got the roasted poblanos and the Oaxaca cheese, so they do that one. Then they do a classic jalapeno cheddar, a little brisket, little pork, jalapeno and cheddar, and then they smoke them. They throw them on the smoker like they do all their meats. Man, okay, so here's what I did. I got a couple of each of those sausages, and I had I got an extra couple little chunks of brisket, right? So throw them all in the fridge for a day. Get them nice and chilled down. And then sharpen up the old chef's knife. And I just sliced them as I sliced little coins just as almost as thin as I could get it. And I laid out, I made a barbecue charcuterie plate with some bread and butter pickles. With some,
I like what you're doing here.
Pickled red onion, a little brown mustard, a little barbecue sauce. And I had the super thin sliced cold brisket and the super thin sliced jalapeno cheddar sausage and the poblano Oaxaca cheese sausage. And oh boy, it's everything you love about the classic charcuterie plate with the Italian stuff, the salami and the gabagool and all that shit. But you got this whole element, this whole component of smoke and barbecue. Just, and
I can't hear you say Oaxacan without thinking of the Disturbed song, by the way. You said like, Oaxacan.
I like that shit.
I like when I got that that Matt's barbecue here when I was philandering, eating it cold, even eating it cold. Like the sausage cold, even though it's like it was still great. It was still superb, I'd say.
See, go ahead.
To challenge your, do you ever fuck around with just a Hillshire Farms? Just that big old horseshoe sausage?
If I can't, when I'm making gumbo and I can't find andouille sausage, I'll get the Hillshire Farm smoked sausage.
I know it's trash. Yeah, I know it's trash. But I mean, I used to love that as like a dinner, like chopped up.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked eating that.
A little rice or something, yeah.
Yeah, just.
It's good stuff.
I forgot about the old Hillshire Farms horse yoke shaped.
But yeah, man, I've always loved cold food, like food that started off warm. For example, I love cold fried chicken.
Food that started off warm. How are you such a connoisseur? And then you're like, I like food that used to be hot but ain't no more.
Off hot, and then science makes it cold.
Some food's supposed to be like that, like Jell-O's and such.
But I'm serious. I think
can't eat hot Jell-O. It'd be gross. Hot Ooh, pudding? No
hot,
way.
Hot Jell-O. Ugh. That sounds terrible. No, but like especially, I think the barbecue charcuterie lends itself to the cold cut, because you can really. I feel like my taste buds are on alert when it's a cold temperature in my mouth. You know, I feel like I'm tasting things that maybe I would overlook if it was hot.
When it's hot, it's just burning, and I just swallow it real quick. Dude, you're not wrong. I do understand what you're saying, though.
It
I do
was
understand
so
what
good.
You're saying.
Like, imagine, like, we all love the salami and the pepperoni and the gabagool, but man, just thin slices of, like, small batch, house-made, smoked sausage.
I get it. And this will sound gross, too, but, like, the fat is different.
Yes.
Like, the fat's cold. It's a different... You're getting a different
man.
Experience.
It was fantastic.
Lots of good food up on the Reddit right now. On the subreddit, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I got to get on there
good
and look
job.
Around.
People making your recipes, people getting coming up with their own stuff. Some good looking stuff out there, everybody.
Right on. Way to go. But yeah, I encourage everybody listening who's into charcuterie. Go to your local craft barbecue place, get some good sausage links, throw them in the fridge. The next day, slice that shit up real thin. A little mustard, a little barbecue sauce. If you got some pickles, you got some pickled red onion. Oh, boy. Good time.
He gave it the oh, boy. Oh, boy, seal of approval.
It's a great experience.
Like I said, it feels weird to say, like, yeah, I'm like trying to buy a house and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels almost arrogant in this day and age, knowing
how
the world is. But I'm trying, you know, 46, thinking about doing that adult thing other people did 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is a completely changing subjects, by the way.
Sure.
I didn't know if you were done with the food thing.
Yeah, I'm done with it. I got some more food news we'll get to later.
Food
but
news?
As far as my own personal food experiences, yeah, that caps off my week.
Well, just more like because, like, Portland's got all these houses that are, like, they're over 100 years old. But then people redo them, so it looks new inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, like, I was listening to a podcast called Into the Fray. And it's whatever. It's a good nighttime podcast. I'm not trying to throw shade at what somebody else does. But it's pretty mellow as far as, like, it's easy to listen to at night and fall asleep to.
Mm-hmm.
Take that how you want. But the host was interviewing a guy, and he like was in a house that was built in 2015, like or something like recently. But he had all this poltergeist stuff happen, and it made me think about like haunted houses in like a newer setting. I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just
That's
I'm like, right. Part of me is like, oh, I'm gonna buy like, well, I'm not gonna. But if I bought a 100-year-old house, would I be disappointed if it wasn't haunted?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it be annoying? Like, I wonder if I would get to the point. Where these people talk about, they're mostly just frustrated. They're like, fucking come on, ghost, let's go toe to toe. Because it's just obnoxious to have a ghost.
Well, it depends on what the ghost is doing. Like, if they're moving my shit around, if they're stealing my keys and throwing them down the hallway, that pissed me off.
That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know where I got, like, because I'm looking at this house, it looks all new inside. But I'm like, oh, I kind of want, part of me is like, oh, I want the haunted vibes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 100 some years old. Like, you know, when's the last time you were like scared of a thing, an unexplained phenomenon?
Probably when a demon tried to coerce me to kill my fiance.
That was the one that was in Atlanta.
Yeah, the Highland Inn. That was that definitely shook me.
Like the next day, you were like, "Oh, something."
Yeah, I didn't go back to sleep that night. I just stayed up all night and was just like, "What the fuck was that?" If people need a quick recap, 4 or 5 years
ago. Yeah, I guess we should clear it up. That night, a demon called Whiskey convinced me I needed to kill my fiance.
It was the day after Christmas, 2017. Katie and I had visited my parents in South Georgia, and the next day we drove to Atlanta, checked into the Highland Inn right there in, Ponce Highland. That's what I'm trying to say. Ponce Highland neighborhood. You've been there. We've all got stories about the Highland Inn. Just kind of an old, creepy spot. Been there about 100 years. Very small rooms. Billy Wayne Davis and I did mushrooms just sitting in one of those depressing rooms one time. That was not a great experience.
I found out I stayed in the room that Rodney lived in. Told me what he did with his girlfriend in there. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me that.
No. Long story short, 4 o'clock in the morning, Katie and I are sleeping in the bed. She's out cold. Something jars me awake, and I'm not making this up. And I've thought about this. I've thought about this once a week since it happened. I'm 99% sure I was not dreaming. And something jars me out of a cold sleep, and now I'm levitating 6 inches on above the bed. I'm laying on my stomach, and I'm levitating, and my arms are out, kind of Jesus Christ style, and I'm levitating off the bed. And in my peripheral, I always say that word wrong. Is it peripheral? Peripheral.
At this point, you just own the way you. If you say something wrong long enough, it's real to you. So I allow it.
I see flames in my peripheral out the window right there by the bed. I see that the window's on fire. And I keep telling myself, this is not a dream. I'm totally awake. This is crazy. And there was no voice in my head, but there was something. There was a presence in that room that wanted me to do harm to Katie. And I remember saying out loud, fuck you. I'm not going to hurt her. And I'm levitating. This whole thing lasted about 8 to 10 seconds. And I look, and then and I couldn't put my arms down. I was trying to like muscle myself down. Couldn't do that. And just out of nowhere, I fell 6 inches on the bed and snapped too. And the flames were gone and Katie's still there. But yeah, something wanted me to cause her harm.
And you wouldn't chalk that up to like sleep paralysis or anything?
I've never had sleep paralysis that I'm aware of, so I can't really compare it to it. I mean, we've talked about this before when it happened. Like it sounds like it might be. But the problem was I was so lucid. I was so awake. I was so aware of everything that was going on that it just
That's the sleep paralysis part.
Yeah, maybe. But what's the part that wanted me to hurt my fiance?
Well, no, like I said, from having it before, it's everything is normal.
Mm-hmm.
You are convinced you are awake, except there is a presence in your room.
Yeah.
It's malicious, and it's like... For me, it was always like a growling, like the deep kind of almost stereotypical devil type of like kind of growling and like an ominous type of shadow or something that's, again, in your peripheral, but like, oh, it's right over there. And the fear is like, oh, I'm paralyzed with fear. I'm not going to look.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the paralysis of the sleep paralysis and the not being able to move. So it does sound like that, but it's also very easy to dismiss anything that happens scary at night to somebody's sleep paralysis.
So, yeah.
You know, I wasn't there. I didn't see what happened, but I remember you telling me about that. And it's, especially if you've never had it before, like now having had it, I'm like, oh, I know it's happening.
Mm-hmm. You haven't had it since.
I didn't know. Yeah. It's, but then, so you like the rest of the day you were like freaked out.
Yeah. That happened about 4 o'clock in the morning and I just stayed awake for about another 2 hours. And about 6 a.m., we were going to sleep in and, you know, fart around. And I was like, hey, it's time to go. Let's go ahead and start our day. Let's get the hell out of here.
Demon's cutting his trip short, hon. Pack the bags.
Yeah, I mean, that was that's without a doubt the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, I guess, I guess I'm bringing that stuff up, like just being fearful. Like, I can get myself terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a skill. It's like, oh, I'm a cheap date for myself. It's like, I don't need a scary movie. I'll just sit here and let my imagination go wild after a little puff of weed, and I will get horrified of things. And I'm like, now I'm wondering, like, oh, how am I going to handle being in an old house that's mine? That's if Rachel's out of town, like, well, time for me to go in my basement alone.
Yeah.
I've never had that. I've never been in a house. Like, it's been apartments. It's the house I grew up in. Or it's apartments where it's like, I'm pretty sure I know what is in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never lived in a place big enough where you'd be curious about what's it on the other side of the property, you know?
When you say you can get yourself terrified, like, what's an example of when you were just terrified of something?
Oh, dude, all the time. Just laying around, like, what's that noise? What's that? Or, like, listening, like, falling asleep, listening to these podcasts with people's stories. Like, this guy was telling a story about a poltergeist in this newer house that he had. And I don't know. I found his tale to be a bit far-fetched. But, hey, that's me. I'm just listening. But I started thinking about it myself. Like, what if these scenarios, like what this guy said, were happening? Like, he was saying that he was like a beta tester for Xbox One or something. And so Xbox somehow, it projects. I'm butchering this, so the listeners, please, you know, forgive me for butchering what I'm understanding, because I listen to this when I'm falling asleep. But it, like, projects like a grid over your room, so it can interpret, like, what you're doing, almost like a webcam type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play along with video games. I believe that's what happens.
Okay.
But so because he was a beta tester for the company, they had monitors watching him playing these games to see how it goes. And on the monitors where they're watching, like, all these black spots were floating around within the grid.
Really?
Yeah. So he wasn't seeing anything, but they were picking it up. Like, how this thing was, like, mapping the room and, like, map. I don't know if it's, like, I'm really not. I shouldn't even be talking, because I don't understand entirely what he was talking about. That, but all this other stuff that was happening, it just, like, just if you hear something like in a basement or in an attic, like you were saying at your place, you thought somebody was living in your attic.
Yeah.
You know, even here, even in the burbs out here in Oregon, like, finally hearing sounds of things on the roof, because it's like, oh, it's not police cars and car chases and all this shit in LA. It's like, oh, it's quiet and I can just hear stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if my paranoia will drive me crazy.
Hmm.
Because I can get to that place sometimes.
Yeah.
Because especially an apartment, it's so easy to write stuff off in an apartment building.
Sure.
I got neighbors doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I got in trouble at my old place because I heard one neighbor crying. It was kind of like one of those, like, all right, you know, hey, I don't mean to be nosy, but let's check in on people's mental health that's living near you and you say hi to. And I hear somebody crying a lot who lives by themselves. And I texted one neighbor. I'm like, you hear so-and-so crying? And that neighbor's like, no, that's me.
Oh,
like, oh shit, I'm sorry.
Nope, that's
she's like,
me.
Yeah. She's like, I'm sick and I just spilt wine on my new couch. I'm like, okay, sorry. That is a bummer. That's a bummer. I understand.
Oh, man. So you're in the market for a home, buddy. That's exciting.
Well, yeah, honestly, it's probably less shameful to, like, admit being a furry than it is to admit, like, buying a house, given everybody's, like, struggling and this and that. And, like, you know, the current climate isn't great right now as far as amongst fellow artists.
Yeah.
And the sort.
What?
So it almost feels weird to be like, yeah, I'm going to do this thing that I always said I was never going to do. But
nah, man, you can't. Dude, you've been busting your ass for, what, over two decades now?
I mean, it's not even that. It's just I got scared hearing all this talk about, like, oh, you may never be able to own a home ever, given how things are going with at some places. Who was putting a law up that, like, they were not allowing, like, anybody from China or the Middle East to purchase homes?
Really?
In an area. I think just in an effort to curb, I'm paraphrasing whatever subheading I read, but I think it's just to curb like overseas investment, whereas people are just buying up property here and sitting on it. Just wealthy people overseas buying up property and not letting the people that live here have a chance to buy it. And that's the kind of mentality that got me scared into thinking like, oh, okay, I guess I do have to acknowledge that buying a house is an investment and it's not this, you know, fuck it all attitude I had before. I'm still a little leery about it, but I'm still like, oh, so everything, oh, those gutters are my gutters. I have to clean those gutters. I have to paint that thing. I have to mow that, like, oh, this is going to suck.
See, I'm looking forward to that. I want to do manual labor around my own home. I can't wait to mow my lawn. I can't wait to clean out my gutters. I used to love doing that shit.
Really? I wonder how soon the novelty will wear off.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
It hasn't worn on yet.
I don't give a shit. What do you have? I mean, obviously you have some features that you're looking for, but is there one thing that's an absolute must if you're going to make an investment of this magnitude, whether it be got to have a basement, got to have a yard, you know, certain amount of bedrooms?
More than just one bathroom.
Yeah, more than one bathroom.
for me and the missus.
Do y'all just have one now?
No, we got one and a half.
One and a half, okay, because I know y'all used to have two full ones, so that was nice.
Yeah, and it's just the ability to never want to have to hold it in my own house.
Yeah,
never want to have to. I own this, and I'm holding in a dump. I failed. I failed at life.
You never want to have to give a disclaimer to the missus.
No, if it's my house, I should never be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and have to put the hurry up in there.
You might want to give that a few minutes before you head back in there.
A toilet for every asshole. That's
Canadian America.
That's basic. Yeah. That's basic. That's real estate math that I'm doing.
A chicken in every pot and a toilet for every asshole.
Yep, that's
it. Oh my God.
Was that chicken in every pot? Was something that like an FDR thing?
Yeah, I think it was.
I didn't realize me and FDR on the same plan. Let's see. Yeah. A chicken in every pot. Let's see who's that.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Oh, is it advertised because President Herbert Hoover's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Hoover.
What is it, a car in every driveway, a chicken in every pot, something like that?
Two cars in every, first stated by... No, first dated by Henry IV. I want there to be no peasant in my realm so poor that he will not have a chicken in his pot every Sunday. And later associated with Herbert Hoover. He did not make the statement, but it was part of an ad campaign for that. So, yeah, a toilet for every asshole. I didn't realize I was paraphrasing Henry IV.
As you often do.
me and old Hanky Four.
Dude, I injured myself this week.
What'd you do?
I cut three fingers with a box cutter, and it was fucking gnarly. And I've never done this. I accidentally cut a fingernail, like right in the middle. I drew blood from a fingernail right in the middle.
All right, with the emphasis. Everybody's hung up. Everybody stopped listening right there.
When's the last time you had a knife accident or blade-related accident?
Right now I'm cutting my cuticles with a pocket knife.
Okay.
So not an accident, but the blade?
Yeah, like when's the last time you hurt yourself with a knife or, you know, some sharp instrument?
This is why I'd be a terrible cook. I'm so slow. Mm-hmm. In the kitchen when I'm cutting things because of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I never had like a crazy accident. It's going to happen.
Yeah, knock on wood.
I can't think of one. Couldn't even tell you.
I was working in a kitchen one time. I saw a guy cut the tip of his finger off.
Dog. All right. Disclaimers, everybody. We're going to talk about gnarly shit. Okay. My cousin cut his fingers off with a remote control airplane.
Really?
The tips of his fingers. They sewed them back on.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's rough.
He used to have a name, Jimbo, a guy who lives across the street, and he had a few nubs.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fuck. I mean, I'm just from observing him, like, of course this guy has nubs. But he would, like, pull his guitar. Like, I lived at home until in my 20s, and I would just drink beers with people in the neighborhood. I was drinking beers with him across the street. He's, like, trying to play Creedence on his guitar in the driveway. I'm like, you know, buddy, you don't have the real. I'm looking at two fingers that are not going to make that G chord happen right now.
It's a little Django Reinhardt over there.
Yeah. We watched him one day, me and my buddy Bob. We're like, we're going to go to the movies. And we saw him. We're in my parents' living room looking out through the picture window across the street at Jimbo's house. And we see him coming out of the garage. We just see him holding a chainsaw and a ladder. We're like, all right, fuck this movie. We're watching this. You know? We're like, whatever's happening here is going to be more entertaining than anything Hollywood could give us. And we watch it. We just it wasn't like a ladder that like folded out into an A for structural integrity.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a regular ladder. They just leaned against a tree, all wobbly, and then started heading up the ladder.
Oof.
With the chainsaw. We're like, well. Oof. We are not sure what we're about to see.
Did he start the chainsaw first?
No, he started when he got up there.
Oh, see, I would have started it first because, you know, sometimes you got to really torque those things and might.
I would have done none of this.
Yeah.
But this is Jimbo we're talking about. So Jimbo, he's got it going and he gets into the branch. As soon as he makes contact with the branch, it spits sawdust right into his face.
Of course.
And he stammers up on that ladder. We're like, oh, all right, let's call the ambulance.
No eye protection?
But that's the part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So he stammers. He gets down off the ladder. He goes in, comes back out with a pair of knockoff Oakley blades.
Oh, boy.
That was the eye protection. Then he gets back up there, cuts this branch off, and just falls into the street and blocks traffic. The cops, I mean, it's the suburbs. Like, the cops that are just, like, rolling around doing whatever have to come by and be like, ah, Jimbo's doing some dumb shit again. Just without sound, you see the hand gesture of, like, well, branch, I'll get the branch into the yard. It's got cut into smaller pieces. And they're like, okay, Jimbo. Anyway, he was missing fingers.
You ever operate a chainsaw?
I bought, when the tree fell down back here, I did the Harbor Freight thing. I bought, weird to that you could buy an electric chainsaw that plugs in.
That is
weird.
This
is going to end. This isn't the smart design. But yeah, I mean, it made it through that tree about, I don't think it's got much more use in it. But that's a Harbor Freight rule. $50 chainsaw, you know.
See, that's why I want a home. I got to get me a Husqvarna, get me a chainsaw, start sawing some shit up. Most fun I ever had was when my dad owned a firewood business. I was probably 21, 22, and I'd work over there about 3 days a week. We'd have giant logs, just basically trees that have just been trimmed to their branches, but just, you know, basically the whole tree delivered on these 18-wheeler trucks.
Log.
Yeah, but like, you know,
what logs are.
60, 70-foot logs, just huge. This truck once a week would bring like 10 of them. Just dump them. My dad rented a lot behind a pawn shop. Just dump them in this lot. And I'd get out there and get the chainsaw out and chop those bastards up into smaller logs and then feed them through the gas splitter. You ever operate a wood splitter? Those are fun.
No, I've seen the splitters.
Yeah, the hydraulic. Oh, man, it's a good time.
I thought I was going to be a real cool guy here because we got the fireplace. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to chop up this log with the axe. And I put that axe up over my head and brought it down on the log, took out all the string lights on the patio. So I'm sitting here judging Jimbo. I'm lucky to have 10 and 10 as far as my digits go.
There's nothing funnier than watching someone who has no idea what they're doing try to swing an axe. You would think it would be self-explanatory, but most people who have no experience, they'll put both hands down at the end of the handle and try to, you know, physics their way around it. But, like, you put one hand down at the bottom and one up by the axe head, and then as you bring it up, and then as you're coming down, you slide that top hand down and get some good torque. But yeah, it's
or if you want to be real safe about it, you gotta get the head of the axe into the wood first, and then just beat it on the ground and split it. It's not nearly as fun.
Yeah, that works too.
But like you were saying, like I think the sentence you're like, there's nothing more fun than watching somebody that has no idea what they're doing. You could just end that sentence there.
That's
true. That is a good ineptitude is a great source of joy for the observer.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Hence the Jimbo story. He had a boat one day, just had a boat in his yard. And I was like, I didn't know you're into boats. He's like, I'm not, but it came with the trailer.
Hell yeah.
He was just excited. He got this deal on a boat. Then I got mad that cats lived in the boat. I'm like, man, that's on you, dude. You just put a boat here for no reason.
Did he ever do anything with it? Did he ever fix it up and take it out?
He didn't take it out, but the people that foreclosed on the house did.
Oh, man.
I never told you the story about it. It was cartoonish, but like we were two. The address was two. Our house was two north, and his was two south.
Okay.
And he would take the number off his house because of debt collectors. And so they would like shut off our power sometimes.
Oh, man.
Because they were supposed to be shutting his off. I'm like, funny. Well, it's two. This is a two. The house is with the two on it.
Oh, that sucks.
We had some wild stuff on our little. I forget about them. When I go back there, a couple houses down. The guy I grew up with got busted for hiring a hitman to kill his wife.
Really?
Yeah.
And would he hire an undercover cop or something?
I think that was the case.
One of those cases. Wow.
Yeah. But then it's like, oh, yeah, no, I hung out with that kid. There was a kid on the block. It was weird. Yeah, there was. Addison had some. I don't know if maybe it's not unique. Maybe like these little crime stories and stuff happen, but like. And my best friend Bob, like his neighbor down the street, stabbed his girlfriend like dozens of times, and she lived, like made it to the neighbors, and he had already had a grave dug in the backyard. Like, and this shit, like, it's not like city crime of like robberies and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had bikes stolen out of the garage. This is like real. White person thinks they're going to get away with it type shit, like hiring hitmen and everything. And there was a lot of stuff going on. But I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a little quirky, little weird stuff going on in the old little Addison, Illinois.
Did I ever tell you about the time this gal I went to high school with may or may not have made out with her at a party in ninth grade? And then the year after we graduated, her and her boyfriend killed a dude and beheaded him with an axe.
Yowza.
Yeah.
Hot makeout sesh.
Yeah. Yeah. I've literally.
Why?
I've smooched an axe murderer. I don't know. I don't know all the details. I just know that that gal that I went to high school with and smooched on, it was a big story in Canton, Georgia back in like the late 90s.
No shit. Killed
another dude. I didn't make out with this guy, but he was a buddy. And he about the year after high school,
how many murderers you kissed, dude? Be honest.
He's driving his Jeep Wrangler through Jasper, Georgia, and goes through some residential neighborhood speeding too fast or something, and a guy out in his driveway with his small son yells at him to slow down. He stops. One thing leads to another. He beats that dude to death with a baseball bat right in front of his small child.
God damn, man.
Yeah. It's good times.
That was, our quarterback. Prom weekend killed a guy.
Good Lord.
Quarterback of the high school football team. It was like, same thing, like some dispute, but like a fight, but didn't realize the guy was dead. Another dude, buddy's brother, tried to pass a school bus, a parked school bus, on the right.
On the right?
Yeah.
Like on the shoulder?
Yeah. Huh. You know, where people get on and off the bus.
Yeah.
And that resulted in a death and a prison sentence.
Oh,
man,
boy.
It's easy to sit here and judge, but you ever think about like all the truly stupid shit?
Oh, of course, yeah.
That you didn't get in trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, I got to be a little less. Although Jimbo was, I'll still laugh at Jimbo's stuff.
All right, it's almost Valentine's season, and AdamandEve.com has got you covered. Fellas, there's no shame in having an arsenal of tools in your toolbox, if you know what I mean. Think of a master craftsman or craftsperson. Think of a welder, a sculptor, that guy at the county fair who does chainsaw art. Those folks don't just have one tool in their toolbox. They've got a variety of tools that can handle whatever situation that might arise. What I'm trying to say, fellas, is buy you some stuff from AdamandEve.com. They have everything. You know what I'm talking about. A to Z. If you can think of it and stick it in your butt, they probably have it at AdamandEve.com. When you go to AdamandEve.com, select almost any one item, you're going to get 50% off almost any other one item. They have to throw the almost in there because they got some big ticket items that they got to get full price for. But that's not all. When you select your one item, you will also get a free Valentine's Lover's Kit that includes an item for him, a special toy for her, and something you'll both enjoy. The Lover's Kit includes 6 free movies for your viewing pleasure, plus free shipping. So head on over to AdamandEve.com. Be sure to use our offer code BOOGIE, that's B-O-O-G-I-E, in that order, BOOGIE, because without it, there will be no free Valentine's stuff. That's B-O-O-G-I-E at AdamandEve.com. Have a happy Valentine's Day. Speaking of horrible deaths, I watched 2 of the weirdest movies I've ever seen randomly back to back the other day.
Okay.
Just randomly.
I'll talk about a show too.
Randomly watched these 2 movies back to back, and one was definitely one of the weirdest, and the other was pretty darn weird. I watched, if people have seen these, I watched John in the Hole. That's not an adult film either. I don't want to give it away, but it's about this weird little
John for every hole.
Yeah, it's a John for every hole, but it's pretty good. It's one of those movies where I'll go ahead and admit this: the ending. It's one of those open ending, ambiguous. You know, it's like okay. You know, there seems to be a lot of that these days. But other than the ending, I thoroughly enjoyed John in the Hole. And then I think I texted you and asked you to watch this. I watched The Death of Dick Long. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I didn't. You suggest I did not watch it.
Okay. People who have seen that movie know what I'm talking about. It's funny that I know the reveal here and you have no idea how horrific the twist of this movie is. I really enjoyed that movie. Now, that could put me on a list of some sort. And if you see this, you'll know why.
Andre Hyland's in it. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's set and filmed in Alabama, and it's one of the few movies that just nails some of the nuance of the Southern dipshit. These 2 main characters, like they just—I can't even explain it. But it's just the writer and director obviously grew up in the South because they just—and maybe these actors too. I think some of the actors are from the South. Everybody's accent was on point. Everybody's Southern accent is just.
I watch this?
It's great. I really enjoyed it. Even without the horrific image that it paints in your head about the reveal, it's still it's a good movie. It's just, I'm hesitant to call it a dark comedy because it would have to be very dark for it to fall under the comedy category, but kind of a thriller, kind of a mystery.
Did see this.
Do you know? Okay. Well, I don't want to ruin it regardless for the listener, but
no, I started watching it. So I forget. I watched it in like a hotel room. So I just watched a little bit of it.
Well, it's not a spoiler because the name of the movie is The Death of Dick Long. And all I'll say is poor old Dick Long dies the absolute most horrific death you could ever imagine. Just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, but real good movie. Even with the horrific twist there. But yeah, just arbitrarily, just flipping through Prime the other day, I was in a mood to watch some movies, so I watched John in the Hole and then followed it up with The Death of Dick Long, and 2 of the weirdest movies I've seen in a long time.
watching some goofy stuff. Mm-hmm. I will also like to suggest something wild. It's called Paul T. Goldman.
Someone just told me that was amazing.
Dude, it's a fucking weird. We started it last night.
It's a movie, not a series?
It's a series.
Okay.
It's a series.
Okay.
But it was like, it's this guy who, Jason Wallner is like a comedy director.
Mm-hmm.
So Rachel worked with him on like Nathan For You and the stuff. So she knew him, and he had mentioned it to her like years ago. Like, I'm working on this thing. This guy tweeted at me that he had this crazy story to tell. And he's like followed it down this rabbit hole. So that this guy has a story about, you know, intrigue, espionage, whatever. But then the movie, it's a documentary, but also this guy wrote a screenplay about his story. So they're making the movie that he's making is part of the documentary. So
okay. He's
breaking, like, he'll be in a scene acting that he wrote, and it's fucking ridiculous. But then he'll break the scene to then talk with the director and address what was actually happening in his life when that scene happened. But it's got that element of like, all right, we're kind of laughing at this dude. You know, but it's also this guy is desperate to make his story known.
Hmm.
But he's also kind of a sucker.
Okay. Paul T. Goodman.
So it's like Paul T. Goldman.
Goldman. Where, what streamer is it on?
What are we watching? A Peacock.
Peacock?
If you can stand putting another thing on there. Yeah. If you can stand getting another streaming service. I know nobody's excited about that, but... yeah, dude,
I'll check it out.
It was something.
Yeah, someone else told me it was great. I mentioned that in The Death of Dick Long, the best Southern accents I've seen in a movie in a long time. On the other end of the spectrum, I saw one of the worst Southern accents I've ever seen. And it's a guy you probably know. I've never met him. And I'm hesitant to talk too much shit because I'd love to one day maybe be on his podcast. But... good movie called Two Leslie, okay. not the number two, but, and the movie's pretty good. It's kind of a character study. The lead actress is great. She just plays a woman struggling with alcoholism and it starts off, she won the lottery and then squandered it, but it wasn't a huge, she won like $180,000 and then, then it jumps to 6 years later. Her life's completely in the gutter, but, oh, Marc Maron, not a bad actor. I've enjoyed a lot of his stuff. Good in this. I'm not talking shit other than he should have just told the director, hey, I can't really do a Southern accent. It'd just be better if I was, even though it's set in a Southern town, I'll just be the guy who's not from here. How about that? It's a real, real rough Southern accent Marc Maron's trying to pull off.
People take for granted the Southern accent, mm-hmm. I think, because it's like, oh, yeah, everybody does it as a joke. It's mm-hmm. like, well, but it's not. You kind of have to
address
it realistically.
It's rough. But, other than that, like, he did a good job, and his character's, you know, likable. And the movie, it's not a feel-good movie, because it's about a lady whose life has fallen apart due to alcoholism, but there is some redemption. So, yeah, it's worth watching. But To Leslie is the name of that one. And
all right.
Yeah.
You just plop down and watch films.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like every night is something new. Like some nights I'm just in the mood to watch a documentary, and some nights I'm in the mood to just get high and listen to a record. Some nights I'm in the mood to watch some sports. Other nights, all right, it's time to watch a good movie. There's so much shitty movies, so many shitty movies out there that it's such a treat to find a good one.
That's why I would get angry. We also, it's not like a super comfortable setup for like, that's part of like, if I get a house, I'm telling Rachel, I feel stupid looking at these 100-year-old houses. Not like they're fancy or anything, but it's like a 100-year-old house, but they're not designed with like, oh, here's where you watch TV. And like, mm-hmm. How do I put my TV in the in the sitting room next
That's
to the fainting couch?
Mm-hmm.
How can I convert this opium den into a entertainment center?
Oh my God.
But yeah, I do want like a super comfortable. It sounds I know, like, the big thing is to, like, well, I don't even watch TV. I don't, like, you know, it's not. I like turning off.
Mm-hmm.
I like turning off. My brain doesn't get turned off too often.
Mm-hmm.
But when TV's on, like, that's why I have to listen to podcasts at night or something. Like, I don't want to do a TV in the bedroom. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I want the big, silly couch.
Yeah.
Watch a movie kind of thing. So we'll see. But yeah, I haven't been really plopping down and watching stuff lately.
Mm-hmm.
I've got these suggestions. I got to get to them.
I urge you to watch The Death of Dick Long. I think you'll enjoy that.
I do. I realize I had started watching it, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to remember what context, like where I was watching it. But I remember it starting. And I remember being like, oh, Andre Hyland. I think it was like, because it was Andre Hyland. I'm like, oh, yeah, Andre Hyland, I'll watch this. And then it was like getting weird, and I think I fell asleep.
The three dudes are in they got their own little garage band, and all they do, and they're terrible. And they're obsessed with the late 90s, early aughts, new metal and active rock. they're doing like Stained covers and Nickelback covers. And just the detail and the nuance of these characters. Like, they've got an emergency and they're trying to figure out what's going on. He's like, well, call into work. He's like, well, I can't tell him it's an emergency. I already told him that when we went to see Papa Roach.
Oh, yeah, because the dude works at like a Costco or something.
Yeah, well, no, the one guy works at like some warehouse, but he's like, I can't tell him it's an emergency. I already used that for Papa Roach. They're always,
you know, I think I will pick that one.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good, and the reveal is like, holy fuck, it's nuts.
Yeah, I didn't get to the reveal. That's why I'm like, this is an intriguing movie. And then I did not get to the reveal.
Mm-hmm. And but all the actors are great. All the actors are great. So, yeah, everybody crushes it.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay. Kind of look see at it then.
Good times.
All right, buddy. What you got going on? You doing comedy shows? What you doing, buddy?
Nothing of note. I do have some news that I just locked down yesterday. Don't have a date yet, but the special will drop soon on YouTube. Not soon, but a month or two, hopefully. And then also plans to release a big, fat, double LP vinyl.
So, ooh, all right.
Yeah, I'm going double. I don't have the material for a triple like you just did with the trampoline in a ditch.
But, I didn't. I only had half. That last record only had half full. It was only half full.
But yeah, I'm doing a nice fat double LP with Blonde Medicine Records. So that will be out sometime in the spring. Sometime in the spring. So yeah.
That's good. Still coming out sooner than mine is probably.
Yeah.
I fucking give up.
When is yours coming out?
Great question.
Yeah.
Great question.
Showbiz nonsense, huh?
Yeah, uninteresting bullshit.
I hear you.
That just pesters me, so I won't bore people with it. But that's awesome, buddy. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. We'll I'll keep you posted, but yeah, no dates as of yet, but sometime in the spring on YouTube, and then maybe a week or two after that, we'll start taking pre-orders for the vinyl, and then we'll take it from there.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. Anything coming up? You on the road this weekend?
What am I doing this week? Nah, man, I'm just around, dude. I just live here, dude.
Good for you, buddy.
No, I'm at Al's Den in Portland this weekend, 27th and 28th.
Nice.
Maybe the 26th. I don't know if it's got three. I think it's only two nights. I'm not sure. It's just I'm working on stuff, you know? Then I'm doing Sklar Brothers podcast, Dumb People Town, for Sketchfest at Cobb's on the 5th. Of February.
Nice.
That's what I got. And then Bronger and I on tour 21st through the 24th. If you happen to live in South Dakota or North Dakota or Duluth, Minnesota or Winnipeg, all the places that are just great in the middle of February, I don't want to promise that these venues will have heat. I'm assuming they will.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Warmth and camaraderie. Come on out for some warmth and camaraderie.
Well, good times, buddy. Yeah, I don't have any road dates booked till June, but I might have some.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm starting from scratch, you know. I'm rebuilding the hour. I've retired the hour that I just recorded. So I just And I know you're more well-versed at that, but I didn't time it out. I didn't plan it out right, you know? It's like, well, I recorded that, and that was all my material. And if I want to retire that, I'm just back to zero. So I got a good 6 minutes right now. So.
Well, I would be working, and then that 6 minutes would push out an old 6 minutes, mm-hmm. and then a new 15 minutes would push out. Like, I've still, unless it's released, I still kind of cycle out the stuff that's recorded.
And yeah, even then, I thought about that.
Yeah. We'll see. But
yeah,
you can still work. Nobody's going to hold you to that.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, hopefully I might get out there March or April, fart around somewhere.
Come on out, see us fart around.
That's right. That's right,
buddy. Get your money's worth.
Well, good All times, right, buddy. Good times, man. Good luck with the house hunting.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm not. I do feel guilty talking
about
it.
Dude, don't feel guilty, but you got to live somewhere.
People do own houses.
People own houses. It's not like you're buying a castle, are you? Who are you? Tyler Perry?
It'll be my, yeah. I'm actually buying Tyler Perry's old estate.
No, that's exciting, buddy. You should be excited about this, so keep us posted.
Moved into Tyler Mama's house or whatever the hell. What's his?
Medea.
Isla Medea.
What if
Tyler Perry's old island?
What if Kyle Kinane's in the next Medea movie?
At this point, man, fuck it. if it wasn't like, do you want to audition for a Medea movie? It's like, hey, next week, fly down. We got a part for you in the new Medea movie. Yeah, give it to me.
I auditioned.
Gotta keep them guessing.
I've been doing comedy a year, and I was asked to audition for Tyler Perry's House of Pain, if you remember that great old sitcom from like 08, 07.
Oh, and somebody's name was Pain.
Yeah, and I thought, man, things are falling into place. I'm already getting auditions. And didn't book the gig, but not too worried about that.
Honestly, Atlanta, I mean, if you're sticking around Atlanta, there's work to be done. Baron Vaughn moved out there.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think Baron lives out there with his family.
Good for him. Old it's Baron Vaughn.
Yeah,
I like Baron. Good dude.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, man.
Great dude.
Good catching up.
Let's seal it up. Sorry about your quesadilla.
That's all right. I'll get over it. We'll go eat some sausage.
I understand the disappointment.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Doug. Be good.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.